It's time for Over There with Mirella Rastorfer. Mirella is our European correspondent. She's over there somewhere broiling in Europe, I suppose. And maybe she'll even tell us where. Hi, Mirella. How are you?
Hi, Jill. Yes, very well. Thank you. Yes, I am boiling in Switzerland at the moment. And I wanted to actually begin our conversation with the weather, as this has been absolutely exceptional in our region. And we talked about it last week, and the hot weather is going on and keeping on in most of Europe. So we are expecting in some regions, in some countries in Europe, a little bit of a better temperature midweek, but it might go up again. Countries like Spain, Portugal, Greece are not expecting anything much milder. They have been breaking their own records around 118 degrees Fahrenheit. And basically, Europe is trying to figure out if this is an exceptional year, or if this is going to become the rule, because then there will definitely be some adjustment to those temperatures. As you know, Jill, we are absolutely not used to it. In Switzerland, the police is even advising dogs owner to buy shoes for their dogs so that they don't burn their paws. So
the pads,
it's that's very cute, I thought, for police officers. It seems like it has been, though, one of the hottest summer since 1864, so it's a long, long time ago. And
how did they know in 1864 that it was so hot?
Well, I don't know. I suppose you always have people who write down such things and monitor such things. And it's actually helpful because it can show, prove or not prove that some changes are really taking place in spite of the fact that it might be just an exceptional year. So that has to be seen. On that note, I just wanted to quickly apologize. Last week, I talked about the 1st of August in Switzerland as Labor Day. And of course, it must have been the heat. This is our national day. And we did not have fireworks for that day because of nature being much too dry and wildfires being a big fear in Europe, as Sweden experienced a few weeks ago. So that was for the weather update. I just thought it's an interesting topic, not because it's interesting to speak about the weather, but because it is really exceptional. It is very hot. It's complicated with older people, with smaller children, and everybody's trying to cope somehow. Some naturally enjoy more than others, specifically, I think, young people going to the sea or to lakes and enjoying those temperatures. But altogether, it could become complicated if that should repeat itself too often. On another note and topic, I wanted to talk about something that I thought was funny and also gives some food for thoughts. And this is what happened in Belgium, in the city of Anvers, in the Rubens Museum. I don't know if you heard about this, Jill, but I thought it was really interesting. The Rubens is known as the prince of painters and the painter of princes. He was a very popular artist. His His name is linked to some kind of adjective like Rubenesque about curvy female bodies. And all of this was basically only limited to art history until Facebook reacted with some censorship. So there has been then in the museum a reaction as well, a counter reaction, one can say, a humorous one, that was making a video about people visiting the museum and false security agents asking people who have a Facebook account to avoid looking at nude paintings or bring them to look at paintings that where everybody is somehow dressed. It's a reaction to the censorship of Facebook, to the painting called The Descent from the Cross. The video is called the Rubens painting of the 16th century facing the rule of social media in the 21st century. So this also led to professionals writing to Zuckerberg personally to make him aware of a situation that they consider a nonsense. In their eyes, masterworks cannot possibly be considered like pornography. And they are asking basically Facebook policy to adapt to work of arts in order not to mix pornography and works of art. But the answer of Facebook was obviously that they want to protect people and they want to censor pictures or art of works that, for example, show women breasts.
Well, you know also that happened, I don't know how many months ago, with the Venus of Willendorf.
Yeah.
It was absolutely, you know, this is a fertility symbol, boys and girls. You know, it's very small. And the problem with robots, because even if you search Google for an image, if you see a picture, what Google will say is, that's a statue. Duh. Yeah. You know, if you're looking to try and identify an image, it's so helpful. It will say, that looks like a statue. So, or that's a woman walking. Okay. I could have figured that out. And so, you know, obviously what people don't realize is that, I shouldn't say realize, but what's not focused on is that the people who programmed these things, you know, are only using their brains. So, you know, it's a very, you can't, it's very hard to do nuance. I'm not excusing
Absolutely.
It. I'm just saying you simply, how do you tell a robot that that's an artwork and that's like a really horrible thing that shouldn't be up there?
Absolutely. But you know what, the point, and this is when it becomes really interesting, is that you do have enough people that think that such images should not be public. And this is when then the gap becomes really wide between people who consider artworks like works that are basically allowed to be publicly seen, and other people who also see there an opportunity basically to begin to do some real censorship. And you know, the thing is that where does this censorship stop? With Facebook and some algorithm that decide on their own that there is some nudity, or with people that then go truly into museum and ask from the museum to put away paintings that they consider like hurtful for sensible eyes or for children, for example. So this is a problem that begins with something, as you say, that is more robotic and linked to algorithm, and possibly lead to, nevertheless, a form of censorship that could become the norm in museums. And that is where it is very important, maybe, to figure out how to make sure that that there is a difference between an algorithm and a will for a real will and a real power for censorship in museums, because then we can imagine, obviously, how many paintings would have to
be disqualified.
To be disqualified and go into storage spaces.
But it also raises a very interesting topic, because if you are, let's just say, above a certain age, you, of course, have a different context. And if you have grown up basically taking pictures of everything, and I'm thinking more how this affects younger people who don't focus on the fact that, or you have mentioned before, young women who take 60 pictures of themselves to pick the one that they want up there. You know, it's a completely different mind switch when you are looking at something for the artistic value or trying to make perfection on a screen. And I think that people with bigger brains than are going to need to really focus on this culturally and sociologically, because otherwise, you know, you get very small-minded positions that are amplified, and
yes,
you have voila, basically.
Yeah, that's exactly when it becomes interesting, because everything is interrelated, and you know, where people that are interested in censorship evolution must have a great time right now, because on one hand you have Facebook eliminating a painting that maybe shows a little bit too much of skin. On the other hand, if I'm not wrong, Instagram belongs also to Facebook, and there you will have I don't know how many pictures that are very suggestive, and that is perfectly allowed. So this is exactly when I think the entire topic of censorship becomes extremely interesting, because it has to begin somewhere and end somewhere, and what are the steps in between. And because we are in a social media world, then many aspects would have to be taken into account. And that makes this topic extremely interesting.
Thank you very much, Mirella Rostroffer. Over there.
My pleasure.